I am the resurrection and the life, saith the Lord. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Please be seated. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labour and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Let us pray. O thou most holy God, as we have entered into thy presence this day, reminded of thy holiness, the righteousness of thy law, the wages of sin is death, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And yet, Lord, also reminded of thy love, thy mercy, in and through the Saviour which thou hast appointed, thine own dear Son, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, through whom thy people have that victory over death, over him that hath the power of death, that is the devil. And though we lay their body in the ground, yet it is in sure and certain hope of a glorious resurrection through Jesus Christ, who, having been risen from the dead, is become the first fruits of them that sleep. Lord, as we are found within thy presence this morning, we plead that thou would solemnize our hearts and our minds. Remind us each, Lord, that we are frail creatures. We spend our years in a tale that is told. How quickly time is fleeting. And for each one of us, the time must come when we must lie in the same position as our dear departed friend this morning. Oh, we plead, Lord, that thou wouldst prepare our hearts, prepare our souls, and in the face of eternity this morning, that we might be found seeking after Jesus Christ, and that hope of resurrection, alone through his death, and in his life, through him that has said, because I live, ye shall live also. We do desire, Lord, that thou wouldst help us to worship thee in the beauty of holiness. Ah, Lord, our times are in thy hands. No man can say unto thee, what doest thou? Help us, O Lord, to be silent before thee. Help us, O Lord, to confess that what thou dost is best. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We plead, Lord, that thou wouldst comfort all that mourn this day. The dear family, Lord, we would commit them into thy hands. Lord, we plead that as they have sought to honour and to love their dear departed aunt and great aunt, oh, that thou wouldst also grant them that reward. Oh, that thou wouldst comfort them, Lord, and grant them to know also that same blessed hope which their dear departed aunt had. We do desire, Lord, thou wouldst comfort the church and congregation here in the loss of a valued member. Lord, one whom thou hast truly given unto us and spared over many years, and her prayers and her witness amongst us. But Lord, we plead, oh, that thou wouldst help us each to follow on. Oh, that we might be found followers not of men, only insofar as they are followers of Christ. But help us this morning to see Jesus. Oh, help us to come and say with one, Jesus, my all, to heaven is gone, him whom I fix my hopes upon. His track I see, and I'll pursue the narrow way till him I view. Remember, Lord, all absent friends, we plead thou wouldst bless all the friends of our Mrs. Paul in Bethesda this morning, in their age and infirmity, draw near unto them and comfort them. We plead, Lord, thou wouldst bless the staff, for whom the loss is as almost as close, a loss of a family member, one that they've loved, and one that we believe has loved them. And we plead, Lord, this morning that thou wouldst comfort them and help them to continue, not to be weary in well-doing, but in that high call into which they are called, to care for thine aged people. We do desire, Lord, that thou wouldst help us as we draw near unto thy word. Bless thy word unto us. May thy word, the witness of those that have gone before, be blessed to the profit of our souls this morning, that all these things might be sanctified to us, that we might be stirred up to press toward the mark of our high calling, to be found running with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, to stand in our lot till the end of days. Keep us faithful. Hold us up, Lord. Oh, forgive us our every sin. Wash us truly, Lord, from all our iniquities. Help us this morning. Oh, give us that faith that would lay hold upon life in Jesus Christ, and to look beyond death and beyond the grave, to see the joys which await thy people. And until, Lord, thy people should enter into that joy, oh, that thou wouldst be keeping us according to thy word, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Forgive us, Lord, of our every sin. Receive us graciously. Hear and answer our prayers as we would ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Let us read together from the 116th Psalm. Psalm 116. Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. These words, or words from this psalm, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, are the words that the family gave to put on the order of service today. And as they drew my attention to this psalm, and as I was considering this psalm yesterday, it struck me how many passages in this psalm are applicable to our dear late departed friend. And as the Lord would help me, I would desire to make a few remarks. Undoubtedly, what we may say concerning our dear departed friend in this psalm may be said concerning all of the Lord's people. All are led by a pathway that has common experiences. But we must begin at the beginning of the psalm, I love the Lord. Oh, friends, this is a mark of grace. We do not love the Lord by nature as we are born into this world. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It hates God and it hates his ways. But grace, the operations of the Holy Spirit within the soul, they change the heart. They renew the will. They bring the Lord's people to say, I love the Lord. And our dear late departed friend recorded something of this experience in her writings. She writes, I was born on October the 13th, 1918 in Hove, the third child of Sydney and Ellen Paul. I lived my childhood and youth in a happy and godly home, surrounded by many comforts and privileges and relations who feared the Lord and walked according to his ways. But oh, friends, this love of God does not come by nature. It does not come by the good ministry she sat under alone, and not by the many words of her dear pastor, Mr. Popham, nor by the witness of her parents. Grace does not run in families. She says, in spite of all this, the seeds of evil in me soon became evident, and I remember with shame the many times I deceived and grieved my parents. I cannot tell exactly when a change was made in me. It seemed very gradual. But when I was in my 17th or 18th year, I found entirely new feelings and desires in me that I could not understand. The things that I ran after so eagerly seemed to lose their attraction, and my great desire came to be found amongst the Lord's people. It was years before I could hope that it was a true work of grace in my soul. But looking back, I could see that a great change had taken place. And I had been turned completely round the other way. It was something that I could never have done in myself. No, she was brought into the experience of the psalmist, I love the Lord. We love him because he has first loved us. She had that evidence within her soul. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And her love to the brethren was seen in many practical ways. To the Lord's people here, to the aged saints, both in Bethesda and also in the aged pilgrim's home in Brighton, and in her love to the Lord's house here. When you spoke to her, although she could tell you much about the history of this place, there was always that in her which went beyond the history. She loved this place because it was a dwelling place of God, the place where the Lord had met her. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. But then the psalmist goes on, and we find this statement in verse 6. The Lord preserveth the simple. Simple there does not mean those who are without wisdom, those who are foolish, but simple there describes those that are of one heart, have one aim in life, one desire. Those who are found seeking after the Lord, they, the Lord preserves. And Mrs. Paul records in her writing this experience also. In looking back over the years, I can see how in mercy the Lord often kept me from going my own way and taking wrong steps. And very clearly I was made to feel the danger and evil of being married to one in whom there was no work of grace. In one instance especially, I was enabled to make a stand and to break off the friendship. In the Lord's own time, he gave me a husband in whose heart was the fear of God. Now the Lord preserveth the simple. This is part of this keeping by the power of God. The Lord's people cannot keep themselves. And Mrs. Paul would often make reference to this in speaking to me, how much she felt, even in old age, in her weakness in Bethesda, the keeping of God. But the Lord preserveth the simple. But the psalmist goes on, I was brought low and he helped me. I was brought low and he helped me. Mrs. Paul has not left in writing anything concerning one event in her life. But in 1953, she gave birth to a stillborn little boy. And in that deep pathway, what must have been a pathway of extreme sorrow for her, because if ever there is a low point for a parent, surely it must be the death of a child. But the Lord drew near and blessed her with those words that you'll find in Deuteronomy 33, verse 27, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. But Mrs. Paul would never quote it like that. She always quoted it how the words came to her. In the midst of that sorrow, underneath are my everlasting arms. And at that word she spoke to me when I first became pastor and went to visit her. And on the first occasion, she told me something of the Lord's dealings with her. And she ended her testimony by speaking of this experience and the blessing of those words. And they were amongst the last things that she said to me on the Wednesday as I visited her before she died. She said, those everlasting arms, they have not let me down. They will carry me to the end. And we both agreed, as did several others who visited her, they would not let her down. And they have not let her down. Underneath are my everlasting arms. I was brought low and he helped me. Now the Lord's people may be brought into very low places, as are described here. Now the sorrows of death compass me, the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. But in such sorrow the Lord's people have to look unto God, unto the Rock of Ages, unto him who is their helper. And he will never forsake his people. And he did not forsake our dear departed friend, but he visited her with those words and comforted her. A blessing which was to sustain her throughout the remainder of her life. Underneath are my everlasting arms. But then we come to these words, surprising words we may say, in verse 7, return unto thy rest, O my soul. One who has been so blessed by the Lord, brought low and helped, one who loves the Lord. And yet these words speak of wandering from God. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. Surely this is a mystery of why any of those who love the Lord should be left to wander from him, why they should be left to forget him, why they should be left to live not thinking of him. And yet, friends, solemnly, we've got an old nature which does just that. But the Lord is gracious to his people. And though they may wander for a time, and though they may forget him, he does not forget them. And blessed be God, at the appointed time he draws near and he says unto them, return unto thy rest, O my soul. Now Mrs. Paul and her dear husband John lived very upright lives, no question about that. But Mrs. Paul would often mention how the one thing needful was neglected. Jesus didn't have the place that he should have had in her life. The busyness of life took her away from him. Like Martha, careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mrs. Paul writes that as her dear husband drew near to his end, we were able to confess together with sorrow that we had not always put first things first. The day before he died, he was able to speak more than ever before of the hope that was within him. After his death, I felt very encouraged and confirmed and comforted in my own heart with the evidence of the sure foundation of these truths on a dying bed. Some weeks later, and this would be about 1994, 3, I think, I was brought to feel that I could not rest on what my husband had received. I could not live on his religion, and certainly I could not die on it. From this time, there was a real concern to know these things clearly for myself, and I could give the Lord no rest until I knew my part in them. These things came with great weight and stayed with me through the summer of 1993. I sought for clear evidences of these things personally and felt I could not settle down short of the Lord's own word to me, assuring me of my part in the Redeemer's blood. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. It was the Lord's work. The Lord was drawing her and calling to her. The preaching of our pastor, Mr. Walder, at this time became very searching to me and confirmed the exercises as to the need of a personal knowledge of these truths in the experience of them in mine own heart. Towards the end of October, the text was, "For such a high priest became us." And then for the first time, as Mr. Walder spoke of these things, I felt that Jesus was my high priest and that my name was written in love on his heart and had been from everlasting. It was a good time and gave me real hope. A week or two later, the text was, "My people shall be willing in the day of my power." Just before the end of the sermon, Pastor said, "If it was said, will thou go with this man? What would your answer be?" I felt that I could say yes with all my heart if he would have me. I went home that Sunday morning and fell down before the Lord, telling him that I was willing. I felt to surrender myself and all my affairs to him and to say, "Here I am. What will thou have me to do?" I was glad to be alone and felt such love to the Lord. My whole heart was taken up with these things. After so many years of wanderings, of hopes and fears, of seeking and not finding, I seemed to be brought more fully to feel and to know the necessity of being assured of my part in the work of salvation. Surely Mrs. Paul could say, "The Lord hath dealt bountifully with me." With me, and surely the Lord's people. She had to come before the church at the great age of 75 and to tell what the Lord had done with her. Surely the church here echoed with her, "The Lord hath dealt bountifully with me." But the psalmist continues, "I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people." 75. And Mrs. Paul joined the church here and was baptized by her pastor. Friends, some may have said, "Well, what a foolish step to take at the age of 75. What use is she going to be to the church?" For 25 years, faithful church membership, faithful service of the church here, a praying member. Friends, something that I privileged and prized as a pastor, and something that we should not take for granted. What a privilege to be brought to pay our vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. But Mrs. Paul had to walk, as the psalmist said, "I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." Walking before the Lord. Friends, it is not easy, as the Lord says, "In this world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." She says for 18 months to 2 years afterwards, that is after her baptism, "I felt to be much favoured. I seemed to live very near to the Lord, and my heart and desires were lively towards him. All the services seemed to contain food and comfort, and my great concern was that I might not be left to wander from him and become cold. My feelings were expressed in the hymn, but I am jealous of my heart, lest I should once from him depart. Sadly, I have lived to find how easily and imperceptibly we can depart, and how the things of time, the pleasures and the cares, can lead us away from the one thing needful. There is from time to time a bringing back, and longing desire to be brought to the feet of Christ, there to live and learn of him. I often plead that I may be as one who cometh up out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved. What better position to be, may it be my blessed portion." Her practical godliness was seen and known by all. Her quiet witness, her gracious conversation, her upright walk set her apart in Bethesda, to the staff and to those who visited her, to the young children amongst the congregation who saw her and loved her for that which they saw in her. But then we come to verse 15, the verse on the order of service, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his sons. Precious, friends, meaning this, the death of the Lord's people is not left to chance. No, our times are in his hands. Ah, friends, he is with his people unto the end. He brings them down to Jordan. He brings them down to the banks of the river of death, and he carries them safely through. Not one shall be lost. Not one shall be overwhelmed. Not one shall be swept away in the river of death. And dear Mrs. Paul had to prove that to be so. Ah, she was brought down so quickly, and yet so gently. Underneath are my everlasting arms. One of the Lord's people gathered into glory, and truly precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his sons. Well, friends, to the family, I say to you this morning, I don't think Mrs. Paul could have asked for two more devoted nieces, and I would particularly commend you today for your love and respect to her, especially your desire that nothing in this service would not have been exactly as Auntie Ruby would have wanted it. I feel such devotion is rare today, and I, as her pastor, have greatly appreciated it. May the Lord comfort you and bless you with the same grace which sustained your aunt to the end. It comes from God alone. You've asked me to record your appreciation of Auntie Ruby, and I'll now do so. Auntie Ruby was an amazing lady and always a joy to visit. She was so positive. We never heard her say anything negative about anyone. She was always gracious. She was always interested in the family and would ask after them. We would often ask her details about the Paul family and her teaching days, which she remembered and was able to share with us. She was a real inspiration to us all, and we will remember her with great fondness. I think many of us here, in our own way, can echo those words. May we remember, as I'm sure Auntie Ruby would want us to, who gave her her disposition, her kindness, and most of all, her grace. As the Apostle Paul writes, "For who makes you to differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive?" Friends, I have not quoted that right, but that is what it is there. Sorry, I should have looked up the words. But may the Lord help us to put the crown in the right place, to give Mrs. Paul's God all the glory. To the church and congregation here at Gilead, we've lost a praying member and a faithful witness. We are poorer for it. Friends, may we seek to follow after in the same path. Oh, may we have some hope this morning that we are travelling home to God in the way the Father's travel. And that as they are now happy, we soon, their happiness shall see. Friends, Mrs. Paul stuck to the old paths. She removed not the ancient landmarks. Although she was certainly not bound by her generation, she was not bound up with the past. A more measured and a more balanced lady, in many ways, I could not hope to find amongst my congregation. Oh, may we know the same balance within our life. She sought after the one thing needful and had to lean alone upon her God. He has brought her safely through, and may we seek grace to follow after. But friends, in coming to a close this morning, we stand here this morning in the face of death. Friends, what a solemn place we stand in. For the day is coming when we must all be found in this same place. There is much that fills our lives, much that takes our attention. But there is one thing needful. This is an appointment which we cannot escape. On Lord's Day morning here, having been faced during the week with a strange providence of having my eldest member laying waiting to be buried and the youngest member of my congregation just born, we took those words of the text on Lord's Day morning from the opening chapter of Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labour which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. No, friends, time is short. Our lives are short. And we get taken up with the vanity of vanities. Things which may be right in their right place, good. They are blessings from God. But when they get our heart and when they take us away from him, from the one thing needful, they are that which are damaging to our soul. And I wish to close by reading a few verses from a poem written by Mr. S.F. Paul, Mrs. Paul's father. It was his tradition to write a poem for each one of his children on their 21st birthday. And a copy of this poem written for Mrs. Paul is in the porch if any of you wish to take copies at the end of the service. But he wrote to his 21-year-old daughter seeking to enforce this lesson. We live in a changeable world. A world of unrest and decay. Things solid and stable are hurled like feathers and phantoms away. Comes one generation and then another succeeds in its room. Today with the children of men, tomorrow are laid in the tomb. Now rises the sun with the day, then sinks in the darkness of night. Now spring brings a blossom of May and summer with all its delight. Then autumn the whole will transform and herald the cold winter forth. Now south blows the wind soft and warm, then turns with a blast from the north. The rivers all run to the sea, whence watery vapours arise, and gathering over the lea, pour down their contents from the skies. Now peace and prosperity reign, then famine and war take their place. Now sickness and suffering and pain, till health is restored for a space. And if you look up the first chapter of the Ecclesiastes, you will find those verses are a paraphrase of it. But Mr. Paul comes to the same place as Solomon. In the Ecclesiastes, by nature, we all are at war with God, our Creator and Lord. And this we must learn to abhor if we are to have the reward. The Spirit we need to do this, to quicken our souls by his grace, convince us of what is amiss, and show us his reconciled face. May this be the peace you desire, above and beyond or beside, twill stand in the flood and the fire, and death and destruction abide. 'Twas made by the Lord on the cross, the sinner's unchangeable friend. Seek this, whatsoever your loss, again it will prove to the end. Ah, friends, there is nothing else that will do us any good. Nothing else will comfort us in death. And nothing else which will make that text true on the front of the order of service, precious, in the sight of the Lord, is the death of his saints. But that peace which has been made by Jesus Christ upon the cross in his death. Seek this, whatsoever your loss, again it will prove in the end. Let us now sing the first hymn on the order of service. We'll sing this hymn in the chapel and then, God willing, at the graveside, we will sing the second hymn. The first hymn on the hymn sheet to the tune Norwood. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. Hymn number 1.
Yeah.
Just a few announcements, friends. The family would like to sincerely thank the manager and staff of the Bethesda home for their love and excellent care for Mrs. Paul over the last 12 years. And any donations which you may desire to be made are to be sent to the Gospel Standard Bethesda Fund, Brighton, via the funeral undertakers. There are maps of the cemetery in the porch if you wish to take them on your way out. The committal will be at 12:30 in Hove Cemetery, the north part, just off the north side of the Old Shoreham Road. But I would ask you not to loiter on your way there, because if we are all there before 12:30, then we will begin the interment at that time. Let us pray. O Lord, we plead that thou wouldst bless thy word unto us as we go on our way now. Lord, that we might also know that same grace, be brought, Lord, from that hatred, that darkness of nature in which we are born, into that place where our witness is that we love the Lord. We love his saints. Lord, we plead that thou wouldst be with us now and part us with thy blessing. Take us in peace and safety to the graveside, and grant us thy presence there, thy comfort, thy stay. We'd ask, Lord, that thou wouldst forgive all that's been amiss in the worship here this morning. And plead, Lord, that thou wouldst bless thy word unto us. Forgive us our every sin, we'd ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.